Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, we were going to have, or hoped we would have this afternoon, a woman who's written a fascinating book. And her name is Candace Jackson, and she's written a book about Bill Clinton's women. And of course, if I wasn't quite sure who Candace Jackson was, I went up on the internet searching for it. Of course, I had the name. I didn't know what the topic was. And of course, when we got to Candace Jackson on the internet, why, she was a black stripper. And I thought, what am I doing with an interview with a black stripper? But we went on down, and we did find another Candace Jackson. That's Candace E. Jackson, who's written a fascinating book entitled Their Lives, The Women Targeted by the Clinton Machine. And as you begin reading the book, you realize that Candace is an extremely intelligent woman who's done a tremendous job. She's written about all the women that we know about. Now, there were at least 26 different women who had come forward and talked about their affair with Clinton. But what he did, he used violence and threats and intimidation. They would, first of all, of course, to bribe people into be quiet where they couldn't, they would set out to destroy them. And that is really what's so unconscionable. What happened with Monica Lewinsky wasn't about sex. It was about threats and intimidations and everything being done, of course, to lie and to cheat and to, obstruct justice. That was what it was really all about. And, of course, the media went right along with Bill Clinton. In fact, when the case was going to the Senate, the story of Juanita Broderick had come forward and told about a frank rape that Clinton had committed on her. And ABC had the entire story. I forgot whether it was ABC or NBC, but they had it all on tape. But they would not release it until after the Senate had certainly whitewashed the whole affair. You have to understand why the Senate whitewashed it, and nobody else is going to tell you. So why? Well, it is because Clinton was very high in the demolays, a senior demolay, and of course Trent Lott, majority leader in the Senate, and a number of the senators were Masons, and they would never come out against somebody else who was part of their fraternity, their little secret society, or even though Nixon, pardon me, Clinton was not actually a Mason. He was a high-ranking demolay, and those are, of course, the sons of the Masons, and certainly no Mason would ever come out against him. But the average individual doesn't understand that, and nobody is going to tell you about the occult underground that works behind the scenes and really directs the affairs of our country. And, of course, the Masons and their counterparts within the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the Skull and Bones and the Council on Foreign Relations, because it comes out of the occult as well. They're working at every level of our government today. And, of course, unfortunately, you cannot have a fair legal system when you have people who swore an oath that are so secret, as the President of the United States said when asked about his membership in Skull and Bones. Oh, that's so secret, I can't even talk about it. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes and with you again. And we're probably going to have open lines because it doesn't look like our... Oh, there she is. We'll be back in just a moment with, of course, Candace Johnson right here. Jackson right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. This afternoon, we have as a special guest Candace E. Jackson. And, of course, she has worked for Judicial Watch. She's a libertarian. She's a graduate of Stanford and a Pepperdine Law School. And she, of course, is trying to write a book about Bill Clinton's women. Now, everybody says, well, why worry about that? That has nothing to do with character. It has nothing to do with this man. Why should we even worry about it? He's out of office now. But his legacy is still there. And I think what we have to understand is that we've never got the true story of what Bill Clinton did to the women in his life. And of course, well, I'm going to let Candace tell the story, because she covers the story of seven of the women who have come forward, but there were 19 others, weren't they, at least that we know of? Candace?
Yes, good afternoon. You're absolutely right. There were many others. I consider the ones I focus on in the book to be just a representative sample of the unfortunate stories that exist out there. And, you're right that a lot of people are going to think, oh, what's the big deal? Shouldn't we just let this go? But no, you're right. I don't think we have ever gotten the full perspective of the depth and the detail of how these women were mistreated. There were some very similar patterns to the harassment and intimidation of these women, but they each had their own unique experience along the way. And you put it all together, and it really says a lot to me about not only the leadership character of the Clintons themselves, but I believe about their political philosophy, their liberalism as well. So it is something to pay attention to and have discussions about, particularly when we're looking at possibly sending the Clintons back to the White House.
I think the fact that the thought that Hillary would be there, that to me is even more frightening, because she's a much more convincing liar, and certainly I think she's far more dangerous. But you point out in your book how Clinton could always find a means of lying, and he always got away with it. And if he didn't, why, he'd sort of make a joke and say, I apologize, I'm just so sorry, and they go out and do it again.
Well, that's the thing. I really think that most people were allowed to have this impression of Bill Clinton and his misbehavior.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Candace Jackson, and her book is Their Lives. Now, Their Lives is a takeoff on Bill Clinton's book, My Life, in which he simply lied. The only two women he talked about, of course, were Monica Lewinsky and Jennifer Flowers, but there were seven women who came forward, seven women whose lives he destroyed because anybody who threatened him, he would destroy. And I'm not talking simply about keeping them from getting jobs and smearing them and doing everything they could to discredit them, but actually use of physical threats, hounding these people, following them, most of these women just lived in fear for their lives, didn't they, once they crossed Bill Clinton, their lover?
Well, that's absolutely true, and it's also important to remind everyone that we're not just talking about women who came forward talking about having had affairs with Bill Clinton. Certainly some of them did, like Jennifer Flowers and Sally Perdue, but other women like Paula Jones and Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick, they came forward talking about having no voluntary interaction with Bill Clinton, that their encounters with Bill Clinton were harassment and even violence and assault. So the depth of the behavior on Bill Clinton's part, I think, needs to be recognized. It really crosses over, into the realm of sexual harassment, addiction, and abuse.
And, of course, he told Jennifer, if anybody asks you about it, just lie. Just don't tell the truth. If we hang in there, why, everything will be all right. And
exactly.
Jennifer did lie for him, and he even got her a good job with the state government down there in Arkansas, which is a violation. I mean, that was a criminal activity to make sure his former mistress for 12 years got a good job with the government. So just simply as a form of bribery.
Oh, absolutely it was, and a review commission in Arkansas voted to reverse that decision, giving her that job, and the head of the review commission was a Clinton buddy who Clinton had appointed, and he simply refused to go along with the commission, so nothing was ever done about that. But that was just one instance that attempt to bribe these women with job offers continued for many of these women. Kathleen Willey ended up with a job. Elizabeth Grayson was assisted in getting jobs. Sally Perdue was offered federal jobs to keep quiet. Of course, his bodyguards, his troopers, were offered federal jobs to keep quiet. That was part of the carrot stick approach that the Clintons used to keep quiet anyone who might come forward to expose any of the misbehavior that they had committed.
But of course, the thing is, there was always a carrot. But then there was a very lethal stick, and these people didn't know whether these people who called and threatened them and inferred that break their legs or do other terrible things to them were really serious or not. But there was always that fear, and what does a woman do, especially when she's been accosted by the Attorney General of Arkansas or the President of the United States? Who does she turn to for redress and for protection?
That's right. There was no feeling of safety and no feeling that there was anywhere they could turn to remedy any of this. Some of the women felt like their only option was to make their stories as public as possible in hopes that by having some public attention, the Clinton team would back off a little bit, not want to be so visual, so public about attacking these women, but that didn't work out for most of them very well. They were still smeared and attacked and called liars and white trash and all kinds of things. And so it was just a long running, well-oiled machine that was put together to come down hard on any of these women. And the pattern really was attempt a bribe. If that doesn't work, then intimidate. If that doesn't work, threaten a little bit more strongly. And of course, while that is all going on, attack through the media and publicly try to discredit any of these women that you can. And it really had a severe negative impact on the lives of a lot of these women for literally years.
Well, of course, there is much more. I mean, you've done a wonderful job on his women, but of course, I've talked to people like Larry Nichols, who was beaten. They would have killed him, because he'd spoken out against, and had neighbor hadn't come out to get the thugs off of him, they would have beaten him to death because he'd spoken out against Clinton.
That's right. He wasn't the only one. There was a lawyer who lived in the same apartment complex as Jennifer Flowers, and he videotaped Bill Clinton coming over to Jennifer Flowers' apartment there, and he was beaten up and
almost
killed for his videotape.
And, of course, this is the sort of thing that went on. And it was amazing how this was covered up. Most of this was covered up by the media.
Yeah, the more people you talk to who lived or worked in Arkansas during the time when the Clintons were rising to power there, the more I keep hearing, this is all an open secret in Arkansas. That it was some big surprise on the national scene, it was almost amusing to people who lived in Arkansas during the time. It was kind of, everyone knew that this was how the Clintons operated. And it, I guess it surprised the rest of us, and it seemed maybe so outrageous that we didn't want to believe it.
Well, I think that, of course, it's like so much of it goes on today. Gee, if George Bush only really knew what was going on, those things wouldn't be happening. Or if Jack Kennedy had really known what was going on, those things wouldn't have happened. Or if Bill Clinton had known what was going on, they never would have happened. Because we don't like to believe this sort of thing about our leaders. But
no, we don't. And yet, we have to realize that people in positions of great power like that, of course they have layers and teams of people around them whose job it becomes to do the dirty work, to protect the powerful person's interests. And, that's what was happening with the Clinton machine.
And
plenty
of course,
people around them to go out and carry out the threats and attacks on these women.
And, of course, you go into the background of Betsy Wright, who, of course, was it was her job to cover up all of the bimbo eruption. And, you know, you even comment that she eventually became disillusioned when, you know, she realized that Bill Clinton had consistently lied even to her, who had been with him for so many years.
Yeah, in the end, I think I got the impression that a lot of people who worked for him at some point experienced some level of betrayal or feeling let down by who the Clintons really were. But, you know, there are others who are loyalists to the end, and it didn't matter how much they knew. You know, they may have been fully aware of everything that was going on. They were still willing to go out and carry out the dirty work.
Well, of course, why don't you tell some of the stories? I think most people don't know the story of Sally Perdue. I didn't know the story of Sally Perdue. I'd heard her name, but I really didn't know anything about her. And then what had happened to her, well, of course, she never told anybody about this, but she told a friend who got the word out, and then suddenly her whole world begins to crumble. Who was Sally Perdue, and what happened to her?
Well, Sally Perdue was a woman in Arkansas who had a brief affair with then-Governor Clinton in 1983, lasted for a few months, and the affair ended on a tense note. She wanted to run for mayor in her hometown in Arkansas as a Republican, and Bill Clinton absolutely put his foot down and told her she better do no such thing, didn't want her running for mayor anywhere, you know, getting any public scrutiny for, you know, after just having an affair with him. So the affair ended on a tense note, but she didn't, you know, she didn't talk about it or go public about it or anything like that until the 1992 campaign. And she decided, naively, I think maybe the American public should know a little bit of personal history about this guy before they vote him into office. So she went on the Sally Jesse Raphael show in the summer of 1992 and told about having this affair with Bill Clinton. If that was as far as the thing had gone, I wouldn't be writing a book about her. Nobody should you know, would really be paying that much attention. She you know, say what she had to say, and Clinton could just, you know, admit to it and leave it up to the rest of us to judge him for it. But that's not how it went. She began being trailed by private investigators, some of whom were hired at Clinton campaign expense, which, you know, is matched by our federal tax dollars.
That's a federal offense, though, to spend money on something like that, isn't it?
You would think so, but today's campaigns are full of, you know, you can get away with a lot under the umbrella of opposition research. So it's hard to make out a case for where that line is drawn. I certainly think that kind of activity should be illegal. I mean, I'm not comfortable knowing that there are private investigators out there trailing women like this, trying to dig up whatever dirt they can find on these women.
Well, of course, they may
not running for office.
Well, they may even, of course, be coming after you now that Hillary's got.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.